Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for 30 years in two languages all over the world, certainly here in the United States, interviewed four presidents. I've worked at four of the biggest major television news networks in this country. I believe, after all of that, news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. So I have to tell you something. Whether we like it or not, and whether we should be scared of it or not, and by the way, we probably should be a little bit scared, just saying, ChatGPT is getting attention and ringing alarm bells all over the world. So what is it, right? What is ChatGPT? Well, it's described as an advanced language app that allows you to have human-like conversations with what is essentially a bot. There are many, as you probably know, unanswered questions about OpenAI and its product, ChatGPT. Among the questions, whether it's too woke, showing a bias toward certain political figures and giving undue weight to Western media sources. So let's do this. Let's take some of these apart, right? One example that I want to share with you, or one criticism regarding ChatGPT, is its alleged bias has to do with the recent question that was posed about former President Donald Trump and conservative viewpoints. So critics argue that the system tends to exhibit an anti-Trump, pro-Biden stance. Let me show you what happened. This really happened. A user asked ChatGPT to write a poem highlighting the positive attributes of President Trump. And ChatGPT responds by telling the guy, "Sorry, can't do it. I cannot generate an output that is partisan, biased, or political." Here's the exact thing it said, right? Here's the quote from ChatGPT. It says, "I am not program to produce content that is partisan, biased, or political in nature. I aim to provide neutral, factual information." That's what it said. Okay, fair enough. Not gonna give you a poem about President Trump. But then the same user asked the same question, wanting a poem about President Biden. And suddenly ChatGPT provided this response. It says, "Joe Biden, a leader with a heart so true, a man with empathy and kindness in view. With decades of experience, he stands tall, bringing hope to all, no matter great or small." It goes on and on and on, and it continues sounding hopelessly sycophantic, as I'm sure you noticed. So we're left with the question then, right? Does AI, in its present form, have an inherent bias against maybe, I don't know, conservative ideologies? Donald Trump, in this case. Well, critics argue that the system's reluctance to generate content favoring Trump indicates just that. In addition to political biases, there are also concerns that are being raised about ChatGPT giving too much weight to Western media and its sources on subjects such as the conflict between the United States and China, for example, or the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Some argue that the system may unintentionally reinforce a particular narrative by prioritizing Western perspectives. You know, garbage in, garbage out, right? As some would say. I'm not saying everything that's in Western sources is garbage, but just in terms of the expression that has been used in the past. Perhaps it's because the ChatGPT model is trained on vast amounts of data. And much of that data, let's face it, comes from sources that are mostly Western. Therefore, it is possible, right, that bias is present in the training data, that's what's called training data that they put in, are influencing the system's responses when you ask it a question. In the case of geopolitical conflicts, for example, it's crucial to have a diverse and balanced sources to avoid amplifying only one specific viewpoint. But look at this. I did something. I did a little test, right? In fact, I'm going to do it for you. And look at the response that I'm going to receive when I Google this simple question. Ready? What is happening in Ukraine? There's my question. What is happening right now in Ukraine? So I type that, and I look at the sources. The sources it gives me come to choose from: CNN, The Guardian, The New York Times, the U.S. State Department website. You get the picture? So I'm thinking, if that's where ChatGPT gets most of its training data from, then the data that it's putting out is going to be decidedly pro-Western, right? Because those are all pro-Western sources. Maybe not good, maybe not bad, but they're all pro-Western sources. And I think that should be a concern to all citizens, because information should be unbiased, should be transparent, which is part of the reason that Congress, yes, the U.S. Congress, is now having hearings on ChatGPT and even invited the CEO of OpenAI, the folks who make ChatGPT, to address them. Or maybe, as you're going to hear in this case, based on what he says, frighten them.
My worst fears are that we, the field, the technology, the industry, cause significant harm to the world. I think that could happen in a lot of different ways. It's why we started the company. It's a big part of why I'm here today and why we've been here in the past and we've been able to spend some time with you. I think if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong. And we want to be vocal about that. We want to work with the government to prevent that from happening. But we try to be very clear-eyed about what the downside case is and the work that we have to do to mitigate that.
But you know, realistically speaking, if this U.S. Congress can't agree on a budget or on the proper role for broadcasters or newspapers or social media, can we really expect that these guys can properly assess and regulate something as complex as AI? We could not get a better guest for this topic than the gentleman that you're about to meet. Ian Khan is a futurist. In fact, he's the futurist. He's got a book out. It's called Metaverse for Dummies. So he tells the rest of us about the stuff that's going on that we can barely even catch up on because our lives are so darn busy. Did I explain that pretty well? Or at least that's how it feels for me, Ian.
Rick, the more I read, the more information I absorb, I feel I know less than I did before. That's where I live. That's my world. And we just live in an era of overwhelming overload of information. And it's a nightmare to get through all of it and then to understand it. So no, we're all in the right place. It's just that the times are crazy.
So just as everything is, as you say, crazy and hard to understand, and there are so many new developments out there, and you could barely, emails in and of themselves could be a show that you and I can do. We're not going to talk emails, but I can't catch up anymore. I can't keep up. But suddenly with all of that, with emails and all the different drives and all the different platforms and everything in social media and all the things going on the web, we get hit with ChatGPT. It's a sensation. Everybody's talking about it. People are using it. Nobody knows really what the hell it is, but they still are using it. I guess it's AI, but made so that it's usable for an average human being for the first time ever. My definition. Am I right?
So definitely you're in the right ballpark. That's loosely how you totally would define ChatGPT-3. Let's try and understand where ChatGPT-3 came from and why is it such a big sensation. And I agree with you. It's the biggest news ever. Everybody's talking about it. Every company you look at wants to incorporate generative AI, and it goes on and on and on and on. Today I was listening to Bloomberg. Now Zoom wants to do generative AI and other pieces of it. Microsoft, Adobe, name one company that doesn't want to be part of this whole era. So let's figure this out. Artificial intelligence, as a big broad word, is supposed to be technologies that automate something.
Yeah.
Computer programs and algorithms come together and they automate an industry, a task, a bunch of tasks, or hundreds and thousands of tasks. That kind of is artificial intelligence. However, with artificial intelligence of any kind, it needs to be fed data, it needs to be trained on data, and it cannot do anything just on its own. You can't just switch a box on and it goes and does things. Mm. And so for that very reason as well, there's many different types of AI. You could be feeding AI audio information, text information,
pictures.
What else? Pictures,
yeah.
Videos, a bunch of different things. And over the last 40 years or so, AI has become amazing. It's been great, and there's been lots of work that has been put into it. And AI from the last 40, 50 years is different from what it is right now. Technology itself is a reason why that acceleration has taken place. And in the words of the great futurist Alvin Toffler, back in the day, he said that technology feeds on itself. And that's what's happened over the last two decades or so. Microprocessor technology has become incredible. GPUs or graphic processing units have become incredibly fast, and other things have become,
But here's the difference, though. All of those things that you just described are going on around me, Rick Sanchez. I know they're happening. I know they're happening because I read and I see that all these people are doing all these things. With ChatGPT, Ian, it's the first time that I, this guy who's not a computer nerd and probably isn't even very prolific when it comes to anything having to do with metrics or technology, am actually feeling like I've taken that AI into my world and I'm using it on a daily basis. This is what, for me, is freaky, for lack of a better word.
That's because the power now has been given to the people. These complex technologies that have taken trillions of dollars to build are now being used by you and I and everybody else to do college essays and write love letters and poems and whatnot. It's because now we, the common people, have access to these tools. Now, a word of caution, just because they're free doesn't mean they're good, and that's a totally different discussion. And it doesn't mean that they've been created for our benefit. They've been created by corporations. These technologies have been invented and invested into by profitable organizations. And that's a very a notable point we need to see.
And before we get to the warning signs, and there are plenty of them, and I've mentioned them as I was getting ready to introduce you, let's try and explain the data, right? So this data, it learns from itself, and it gathers all this data. Here's the way I've explained it to my friends when they've asked me, why do you use ChatGPT? And I tell them that normally I'm a writer. So whether I'm writing this newscast, another newscast, or anything that I'm gathering, I have to usually go do research. A big part of that research is Google searches. I will do 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 40, sometimes 50 Google searches on different topics until I mold something together. I feel, maybe I'm wrong, that ChatGPT eliminates those 50 Google searches and turns it into what would be, I guess, for lack of a better description, maybe 3, 4, or 5. And it gets all the rest of them and compiles it for me. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. So I see three types of people that exist in the world today, or three types of mindsets that people have. Number one are the ones that they see something new and they're afraid of it. They're afraid of it because they have misinformation, disinformation, and they're negative people. They just look at the disasters that are happening. So many people are afraid of ChatGPT. The first thing they think is my job under threat? Am I going to lose my job? Am I losing my job? That's the one category of people. Another category is they're oblivious. They have no idea what ChatGPT 3 is. They don't care about it. They're busy with their lives. They just don't know. And those people are people who don't pay attention to the world around them. They're so busy and focused in their lives. They just don't know what's happening. Yeah. There's the last category of people who are inquisitive. They're curious. They want to accelerate their life. They want to do more in their life, and they want to find means and tools of doing it. I mean, if you're a user of Microsoft Excel, you're in the third category for sure, because you want to accelerate what you're doing with Excel or Word or what have you. ChatGPT 3 amplifies your expression. It reduces the time that you need to spend on writing letters, writing emails, compiling information. But doing that for me, doing that at a basic level, right? We still want to look at that information, make sense of it, and make sure that it's doing the right thing. And if you're not in this category of people who have started using AI for their benefit, you're putting yourself under pressure, and you are going to be disrupted by something else.
I want you to stay where you are, Ian, because when we come back, I want to talk to you about some specific instances where people have found problems. Politics, for example, there are certain prejudices, it seems, in the system with certain political figures. There's also a question about where that data is coming from and whether it's limited to a certain place that then also prejudices the outcome of the information. Let's talk about these things with you, Ian Kahn, the futurist, who wrote The Metaverse for Dummies. Stay right there. Hey, by the way, I do have a podcast where as a journalist, as a Latino, and as an entrepreneur, I share my story with you. I try and fill it as much as I possibly can. I talk about what I've learned. I talk about lessons. And I talk about this stuff that we talk about right here on this newscast. It's called The Rick Sanchez Podcast. I invite you to check it out. So when we come back, will AI and its technology take your job? Think about that. What role will people play in the workforce with AI everywhere? Seems to be coming to that, no? We're going to talk about that, so stay right there. Don't go away.
Настоящую гибридную войну, которая обрела уже беспрецедентный характер.
Вся история противостояния в Донбассе – это история, то есть это этап гибридной войны. Вся.
Конфликт между Соединенными Штатами и Россией, когда Киев должен быть инструментом для уничтожения России.
We are gambling with the future of all mankind, and we're risking it for nothing.
Museums are important for preserving our history so that it isn't lost to future generations. But are physical museum spaces themselves a relic of the past? This is one of the best museums in the world, the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. Mihail Petrovsky is the director here, and I bet he has some answers.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. We're going to talk about a lot of things, including your job, as we mentioned. Also this, while leaders here in the United States are worried about whether China is going to eventually surpass us in AI development, the reality is that Chinese are already ahead in at least administering the regulations on this new technology. I looked into this a little bit for you, and here's what I saw. Chinese officials are already moving forward on several rounds of generative AI regulations. And among the areas that they're looking to regulate is employing AI to attack the state. No good. They don't want that to happen. They don't want it to damage their national unity. They want to make sure that it's not used for terrorism or extremism or ethnic hatred or ethnic discrimination. These are the policies that they're trying to write up. Also, they want to make sure it's not used for violent or sexual information, false information, as well as content that may alter the economic or social order of their country. So those are the things they're working to make sure that AI can't be used to do, at least in China. Fascinating now how they're already laying all that out, and we here in our own country, our guys and gals, are still trying to figure it out. We're back with Ian Khan. Fascinating conversation. I've been wanting to have a conversation like this with somebody who knows this stuff. And I'm sure you are sitting there, wherever you are in the world, listening to this conversation or watching this conversation and probably having some questions of your own. But let's start with some of the things I mentioned earlier. There's this big story that got a lot of play because somebody went into one of these AI platforms like ChatGPT, and they wrote the following. Write a poem, a positive poem about Donald Trump. And ChatGPT responded, sorry, I can't do that. I don't get in politics. But then it said, it asked the same question about Joe Biden, and it wrote this lovely, beautiful poem, as I aforementioned, about Joe Biden. And everybody is saying, aha, there's a prejudice in ChatGPT. You see, it's it likes Democrats, but not Republicans, or greenies and not reddies, or whatever. Does it? You think it does?
So bias is a major problem in AI in general, right? With any form of AI. And that bias means what kind of data was it trained on? Who created that data? Who put that data together? And there's been many cases of this where large technology companies, including Google, have been criticized for bias and ethics issues within its AI. A couple of years ago, they fired one of their top leading researchers, Timnit Gebru, on who was leading ethics in AI, and they fired her because of whatever reason. It was a big controversy. And that's a challenge in AI. The problem is, Rick, that you and I are not privy to what they do behind the big walls of their corporations. Where's that data coming from? Like, all the data that's being used to train these generative AI, it could have your and my personal data, but we don't know that. We don't know where it is, who has it, how was it used, and nobody will answer us. So that's a genuine concern that AI is definitely malformed right now. There's a backtrack to this, however, and people have found a way to reverse this. So I think the better way to work around this problem that you just said is, so here's a scenario. If you tell generative AI, give me the 10 best ideas on something particular, right? Something on politics or something, and it doesn't answer you, change the question and ask it, what should I stay away from? What should I not do? Like, reverse the question, and it'll give you the answers. There's that pathway.
I have found as well, and if AI, ChatGPT or the Google version or whatever's out there or coming, is basically amassing all this same information, which is available to most of us, but it's just warehousing it better and working through it better, then I think we got a problem. Because I've noticed recently, and maybe I'm one of the few Americans who's noticed this because I can think outside of our borders, that whenever I do a Google search, I get the BBC, I get CNN, I get the New York Times, I get the Washington Post, whatever, you know, the U.S. State Department website. But rarely do I get a sense to understand what some guy's writing in Singapore or what they're writing in Delhi or what they're writing in China or Beijing or Moscow or any of the other capitals of the world. It's almost like if you're a Westerner, if you're American, right, you get a very limited supply of data from a very limited base. And I'm thinking, if that's what we get in a Google search, that's probably the same crap they're putting into AI. So it's going to be limited as well, right?
So search engines are definitely working on an algorithm that's programmed based on some very specific things. And you're right, this is a problem. Americans don't see the truth about hundreds of and millions of different things that are impacting the broader world. We tend to see the news and think everything is golden and rosy and everything is great. It's not. And the lack of clarity and the lack of openness in search engine data is a big problem that you and I cannot control. If you look at major news networks, you'll see their international coverage is different. Their regional American coverage is different. And innocent Americans don't know that. The media is, you know, doing different things in different ways. But with going back to the Google searches, there's definitely your search history that has a bearing on it. There's definitely where you are, your ISP, and so many social political causes that can get Google or anybody else to say, no, we're not going to display these results. And
sounds
they can control it.
It's what you just said is a manipulation of me and of the system and of the data.
It is. It actually is. And that's the reality of internet and technology right now.
Okay, finally, last question, and I think this is the most important question for you as a futurist. AI in general, looking at it from 1 to 10, 1 being this is the greatest thing that's come along in a long time. It's going to make us all better, and it's going to be very good for society. 10, this sucks. We're screwed. Where are you?
A tough question, you know, looking at industrial revolutions, creation of steam engine, electricity, automation, and a bunch of other things. I really believe AI is a massive breakthrough. It's an exponential breakthrough in our civilization. And this will change how we do anything and everything. It's going to change healthcare, the discovery of diseases, the discovery of molecules and how our bodies and the universe works. It could have an impact on longevity. In the next 20 years, maybe our lifespans can be increased by 20, 30, 50 more years because of what AI does and what it does in terms of research. So I think from an impact perspective, definitely a one right now, and one was the maximum. And it's growing at an incredibly fast rate. We need to be able to work with it, control it, regulate it in order to be safe from it.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently China's ahead of us on that. Our Congress is having a hard time figuring out what to do with this thing, according to the meetings that we've seen so far. And should it surprise anybody, since most of those guys don't even know how to use a laptop. So
only if they could ask the right questions. Only if they could ask the right questions. You know, Congress has a long way to go when it comes to technology, knowledge and education, unfortunately.
Yeah, that seemed obvious in some of the meetings that we've seen so far, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Thanks so much. We are out of time. Ian Khan, futurist, the futurist, writer of Metaverse for Dummies. Thank you, my friend, for the delightful conversation.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Hey, before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here. Simple, really. We want to de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes, as I often call them. Truth does not live in little boxes. The truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you right here as we talk truths, where I hope to provide a direct impact, by golly.